One Man's Family, winner of 46 national awards, a Carlton E. Morse creation. One Man's Family, now in its 26th year, is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. In 60 seconds, we'll hear Chapter 38, Book 129 of the Barber Family Saga. But first, hear this.
This message on Asian flu comes as a special service from the makers of Anacin. No medicine can cure influenza, and only your doctor can determine whether you have it. But there are certain symptoms to warn you. If you have a fever, headache, sniffles, and general achy, knocked-out feeling, call your doctor and stay in bed until he gets there. In the meantime, to help relieve these symptoms promptly, start taking Anacin tablets. You see, Anacin reduces fever faster and more effectively than aspirin. Yes, Anacin is far more effective to break up a fever. What's more, Anacin gives better total effect in relieving pain than aspirin or aspirin with buffering added. This is because Anacin not only relieves pain, but also helps relieve nervous tension, depression, and leaves the patient comfortably relaxed. So when flu strikes, first call your doctor. Start taking Anacin, A-N-A-C-I-N, to relieve symptoms promptly. Anacin tablets. Anacin is a registered trademark of the Whitehall Pharmaceutical Company.
Be good to your family. Start dinner tonight with Campbell's tempting chicken noodle soup. Today, call from the FBI. Paul Barber, coming downstairs from his studio on a wintry afternoon, finds his father busily making notes at his desk in the library.
Going over to Hazel's, Dad.
One moment, Paul.
I'll get my coat. Be right with you. Looks cold out there today.
I'm handling Peaky's telephone calls. An agent from the FBI has been trying to get hold of Peaky for several days now. The boy moves too fast. They can't pin him down. What are you going to say?
I'm going over to Hazel's. I had a call from the CAA just now. They've located Duckworth's plane. He's okay. Just failed to report in.
Careless of him. Paul, have you a moment?
Sure.
I was visiting the great-grandchildren this morning, and Zephyrin took me aside to say that Joan is staying home too much.
Pardon?
No dates. That young air freight pilot...
Bruce Conrad?
Was that his name? Oh, yes, yes, that's it. Zephyrin tells me he stopped calling her abruptly.
I didn't know that.
Paul?
In the library, Mom.
He's on his way over to Hazel's.
Well, Henry, I thought you were a Joan.
I came home. What are you going to say?
Well, Penelope says she's moving back home this evening. I hate to have her over there alone, Paul. Claudia and Nicholas aren't due back until the end of the month.
Where's Mrs. McCullough?
Still in Vancouver. Penelope wrote her there was no need for her to come back for another week or so.
You want me to persuade Penelope to stay?
It might be more effective if you'd speak to her. She seems to listen to you.
Yeah, sometimes.
What were you saying, Henry?
Nothing. Not a word.
Nevertheless, there's something on your mind.
At the risk of being accused of hearing too much, I may tell you that Penelope carries on guarded telephone conversations, makes dates for dinner and theater with a young man who never calls for her here at this house.
It's probably because she works downtown, Dad, and it's more convenient to meet people in the city.
Quite so.
I didn't mean to delay you like this, Paul.
Hmm? Oh, that's all right, Mom. Expect Penny home this evening?
No, she said not to count on her for dinner. I presume that means she's moving out tonight. I wish you'd see what you can do.
Okay, but she's a big girl now.
Make her understand that her being here isn't an inconvenience. We love to have young people around.
Okay, Mom. I'll be at Hazel's if anybody wants me.
Yes.
Hmm?
Doing a little mental arithmetic, 2 and 2 still make 4.
Well, that's always comforting, isn't it?
Not especially. Remember the night Penelope all but invited herself to that dinner of Paul's?
Henry, you're always coming up with things I never heard of.
It was a dinner at the St. Francis Hotel, International Air Freight Company dinner. Paul planned to go alone. All the others had wives or girlfriends. Penelope said she had an evening dress. Yes. Actually, what she said was, have evening dress, we'll travel.
Well, that's all very interesting, Henry, but I don't know where it's leading.
Why can't I remember that young man's name? Air freight pilot. Paul and I were just speaking of him.
Bruce Conrad?
Yes, Bruce Conrad. Yes. He had been seeing a lot of Joan up to then, but he was at the dinner. And I've been wondering. He stopped calling Joan about that time, and Penelope began to make dates to meet someone away from home.
Henry?
It wouldn't be the first time.
I think you need more work to do.
Yeah.
Here, hold this yarn for me. You have a lively imagination. Do you suppose you could have been a novelist, too, if you'd tried?
Very funny.
Maybe it isn't too late to try.
Hello, may I come in and get warm?
Hazel.
Oh, you just missed Paul. He left here a few minutes ago, headed for your house.
Oh, that's too bad. Yes,
he has some good news, however. Duxworth's plane has been located. The man is all right.
Yes, I know. I had a letter from Dan. Excuse me. I'll go back to the house. There's something very important I want to discuss with Paul. See you later.
Yes, hello. Goodbye. See you later. See you. Someday I'm going to make a song of that, Fanny. Whistle me a tune.
We'll return in just a moment to One Man's Family.
Stand back, friend. We're going to blast.
You're going to blast what?
Swift has found a new way to make all sweet margarine.
Oh?
And we're going to announce it with a blast of dynamite. Boom! And then we say, folks, this is dynamite.
Oh, my.
New all sweet is now made with a natural flavor formula for the most delicate natural flavor ever in the margarine.
That's it, hmm? New all sweet is now made with the natural flavor formula.
Yeah.
Why not just say that? New All Sweet is now made with the natural flavor formula for the most delicate natural flavor ever in a margarine.
It won't work.
Clifford, you don't have to blast women with dynamite. Talk quietly to them.
Well...
Just say New All Sweet is now made with the natural flavor formula for the most delicate natural flavor ever.
Oh.
And right now, Swift will pay them 15 cents to try New All Sweet. Details are on the package at their grocer's.
What'll we do with all this dynamite?
Paul at Hazel's big white house, 13 doors up the street, finds no one at home, and so goes back to Jones at 288 Seacliff Drive, where Zeflin, the maid, opens the front door before he rings.
Isn't it freezing, though?
Hello, Zeflin. It's blowing down from the glaciers.
Yes, sure is. Come in by the fire in the living room. Mrs. Farnsworth isn't home. But they ought to be back in a minute now, if you'd care to wait.
Well,
And let me take your coat. She took Johnny over on 26th Street to have a haircut, and Tina wanted to go along. She dearly loves men's barbershops. In fact, she likes men's barbershops better than Johnny does. He hates to go.
What time did they leave?
Oh, a good 3/4 of an hour ago. Anyhow, I want to ask you something. How is Mr. Bruce Conrad?
Well, he seems to be all right. Why?
Is he flying in some foreign country now?
No, same routes he's had. Run to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Why, Zeflin?
Well, I don't want this to go any further, but we're kind of depressed around here, Mr. Barber.
Oh?
Yes, sir. It took about all the diplomacy I had to get Mrs. Farnsworth to go out on dates. She didn't feel real easy about it until they started the interlocutory decree. And... Well, she liked Mr. Conrad, and so did I, and so did the kids.
Mm.
I said to her one time, I said, he's a real swashbuckling fella, and she laughed and said he sure was. He was fun, kind of daring and reckless, you know. She talked more than she ever did about any of the other ones. But all of a sudden, we realized he's called for the last time.
Mm. You know, well, he's been flying through some pretty rugged weather lately, Zeflin. A man's worn out after a hard trip.
I'm glad you said it. But I don't think you believe it any more than I do.
Mm.
I'll bet I can guess what happened. I can, Mr. Barber.
Hmm?
I don't say there's anything we can do, and it'd be foolish to try. If he isn't any steadier than that, we don't want him around, in my opinion. But...
No.
But we got her started going out and seeing young folks and dancing. That mustn't stop, Mr. Barber. She's a beautiful young lady, and she deserves somebody special.
I agree, Zeflin.
And you made a good try last time, and I bet you'd do even better if you tried again. But let's avoid pilots, Mr. Barber. They're away so much, and like you say, they're tired when they get home. Let's find somebody that's charged high with energy, even after a hard day's work. That's what we need around here, life and spirit. The ideal type would be a Mr. Consider Martin about 29 years old, or 30 at the outside.
Paul?
Hi there. I missed you, Hazel.
Yes, I know. I want to talk to you about Dan. He wrote me this morning, and I... Oh.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, I didn't see you, Zeflin. How are you?
If you two want a private conversation, you go ahead, Mrs. Murray. You go right ahead. I'll go out and close this door. There couldn't be more privacy than you got right here. Tell her the problem, too, Mr. Barber. Let's all get working on it.
More of the barbers in just a moment.
Once upon a time, in a very large city, there lived a clarinet. One morning, the clarinet woke up feeling very, very low. He was just not himself. The clarinet was very concerned about his irregularity because that night he was making his debut at the concert hall. Suddenly, the clarinet heard a knock at the door. It was his friend, Phil the Flute. When Phil heard of his friend's trouble, he gave him very sound advice.
You really should take X-lax.
You really should take X-lax. And that's exactly what the clarinet did. That night at the concert, the clarinet played like never before because he felt just great. The moral of the story is simply this. When you need a laxative,
you can depend on X-lax.
You can depend on X-lax.
Paul, returning to the family home an hour later, finds Father Barber hanging up the receiver in the library.
I will, thank you. I'll tell him. I'll make a note of it. Oh, Paul, Hazel turned up here.
Yeah, I know. I finally saw her over at Jones.
See? Oh, everything all right?
Fine.
Yes, yes. Did you see Jones?
Yes, for a minute. Johnny's had a haircut. He looks very sleek and smells of violets.
Little boy hates barbers, though. I never have found out why.
Don't forget what you were going to do.
Huh?
You hung up the phone, said you were going to make a note.
Oh, yes, it's that FBI man again. He gave me another number. He wants Peaky to call. By George, Paul, it was an Olympic exchange, but the numerals have slipped my mind. That's too bad. He's going to think Peaky's trying to avoid him.
One Man's Family, which comes to you Monday through Friday, is written by Harlan Ware and directed by Carlton E. Morse. In Chapter 39, Book 129, Penelope makes a decision. Frank Barton speaking. One Man's Family, winner of 46 national awards, now in its 26th year, is a Carlton E. Morse production and comes to you from California. Madeline Carroll stars next in The Affairs of Dr. Gentry as our 2 hours of drama in the afternoon continues over most of these stations.